those who do it have been able to go into the open air so far, almost without any harassment. Now, that is changing as well. But we've been able to do all of those things, but there is another generation that is coming after us, and we still have opportunity. It's important. And this is what Asa did. He took and he strengthened the city. And then in verse 9, he was greatly outnumbered by those who came against him. And the Lord gave him a most remarkable victory on that day. And with victory sometimes, there comes another danger. The danger again of complacency. And that is where Azariah in chapter 15 comes into the scene. And he comes to Asa, and he had some very, very honest and yet very challenging words to say to him. It says, and he went out to meet Asa, which probably is quite an unusual thing to do, seeing as he was the king, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. I'm not sure that this is what Asa was expecting to hear. But he listened well. And for a good time after this, as we will see, he acted well. Whenever Asa had been battling along and seeking to please the Lord, here in verse 2, what was it? It was incentive to press on. That's the title today. And folks, that's what we want to do. Every one of us have had our challenges during this past year. I know that some of the people we care about a lot, they've had really big challenges. In our churches, we've had challenges. This pandemic has impacted the work of God, and there are, in some of the city, situations where people have left and moved away to different places to live, and the whole thing has changed. Now, as they go out to work, the whole situation is different. It is different, and yet there has to be that pressing on. God's work must go on. And there are people who hate the gospel. Not everyone. But I mentioned to you earlier, there are those who want to, and I can't say it any more smoothly than this, they want to shut you up. And that is it. And here is incentive for you and I to press on. The Lord is with you. If you seek him, he will be found of you. And as I said, I wrote down my outline, I remembered it, and I had my references marked here. I'm going to try and leave with you some thoughts just at this time. There is, first of all, the ground for continuing. These are the greatest words that you and I can hear today. The Lord is with you. And brethren and sisters, we know that we've had a few dark months behind us, and we long for this day, but one thing we can rest assured of now is that the Lord is with us. And he's with us there to encourage us. And you as an individual, or we as a congregation, may feel in the great scheme of things that we're not very big. But size has never been a condition of knowing the Lord's presence. In fact, his word tells us, where the two or three are met together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord Jesus was writing to the churches in the book of Revelation, in Asia Minor there, and writing to the church at Philadelphia. It says in verse 8 of chapter 3 in Revelation, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. And that's what the Lord has done for you here. Churches, from it has come here, has been a vibrant witness in the village. And people have come from farther away and associated themselves with it. And so the work year after year has gone on. Because the Lord has set before us an open door, and no man can shut it. And then it says, for thou hast a little strength. I'm sure there's none of us here today who would put our hand up and say, excuse me, I have a lot of strength. We know what it's like to have little strength. And sometimes it feels so little that we wonder what we're going to be able to do with that little strength. He says here, "For thou hast little strength and hast kept my word." I hope we've done that. I think we've done that. We've kept his word. And while we do not go out looking for trouble and wanting to make enemies with people, and we don't like nasty situations and that kind of thing, whoever doesn't like it would be keeping the word anyway. And if that means, as I took at my ordination vows, and so did these elders here, that we would be faithful to the Lord, irrespective of what abuse or whatever, I can't remember the exact words, would come to us personally on account of that. And the Lord is saying to them here, you've got the open door, you have a little bit of strength, importantly, you've kept my word, and has not denied my name. Wasn't it Wesley in one of his hymns who said, I joy if with my latest breath I dare but gasp his name. What a wonderful thing to go out every day with the name of the Lord on our lips. And he's able, that is the ground for our continuing, knowing that the Lord is with us. And he's able to give us encouragement. The door's open. We have a little bit of strength. We have the word which we've kept. And we have him with us. We've not denied his name. But there's also sometimes difficult terrain. I think we're entering into a period of that as the evangelical church is in the United Kingdom. And it seems that more and more there is pressure, and really it's pressure to conform. The writer said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. There's great pressure on to conform. Be not conformed to this world. That does not mean you couldn't go yesterday and have your fun. Nothing to do with that. Or your sport. Where it says conform to this world is referring to the spirit of the age. What is the spirit of the age? Antichrist. That, there's no other way of looking at it. That is the spirit of the age. And if you look there in Psalm 28, you will see that there's a situation that is very similar to that which you find in the United Kingdom at the present time. This psalm has been sometimes called a recourse to the rock. Psalmist says something notable there at the start. He says, be not silent to me. We want the Lord to speak to us, to speak through us, and to be with us. Speaking here of those who were set against the work of God, it says in verse 5, they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. Does that not remind you of how there's so much that is against now or read in very big words and very well worded narrative against creation? Against a young earth. And you hear people who are extremely intelligent and on a lot of programs that they might be involved with, whether it's to do with wildlife or the fabric of the earth itself, they're extremely interesting and very, very good to listen to. But we start talking about millions of years. What does it say there? It says, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. You and I, we believe in a young earth. Can't be exact. Many people believe between 6,000 and 10,000 years, somewhere in there. Some people might be able to narrow it down more than I have, but it's certainly not millions of years. It says there, he shall destroy them and not build them up. And it says there also concerning these people that are against the word of God. Verse 3, second half of the verse, which speak peace to their neighbours, but mischief is in their hearts. Now read that again. Which speak peace to their neighbours, but mischief is in their hearts. I don't talk about political things in church, but is that not applicable to Northern Ireland right now? Mischief is in their hearts. But here's the verse of encouragement. Verse 8. Sorry, it's verse 7. It says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is my strength and my shield. I am helped. It's referring to right now. And the Lord has helped us through this pandemic. Through plenty of other difficulties too and challenges. But I wonder today, are we able to rejoice in him. And brothers and sisters, we need to, remembering those who've gone before and didn't have the nice buildings that we have, had lots of hardship, didn't have any comfort at all, and they rejoiced in the Lord. And they loved the Lord, and they loved his word, and they loved to promote the gospel. And that is what we want to do as well, because the Lord is our strength and shield. And we need him as our strength, the word referring to inward, the shield to outward. But we need him because of difficult terrain. So the Lord, this is the ground for continuing. The Lord is with you, as Uriah said to King Asa. To give you encouragement, we looked there in Revelation 3 and 8, in a difficult terrain, the Psalm 28. But I'd like you to look in the book of Joshua, please, chapter 1. I made reference to this before, I'm sure. Joshua now is becoming the leader of Israel. He will lead them into the promised land. It says there in verse 8, here's directions from the Lord for the new leader, Joshua. He had already been a very able and very capable military leader, but now he was taking on leading, just leading the whole lot, maybe 2 million people around that, maybe more, maybe a bit less. Again, I'm not going to be dogmatic. A lot of people. It says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from out thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The secret was the word. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, several of the commentators that we know of, you see the word meditate. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. They're saying that that word is connected with the word which is also translated concerning an animal chewing the cud. And you know where a cow would eat the grass and then would lie down. You see it sitting chewing for ages there on the ground. It's chewing his cud. It's regurgitating it and chewing it. Chewing it over. It's chewing the cud. And really, he's saying to Joshua here, you need to get my word into you. Look it up. Let it in. And then live it out. And that is a recipe for success. And I trust that you and I today, as we look here at the experience of Asa, that we will find in these words from Azariah to him, the Lord is with you. This is a good incentive to press on. It's really all we need. It's all the things we like, but this is all we need. And to you young people, when us who are older are not around anymore, or maybe we're so old we can't do very much, if we live that long, you want to remember this. Whatever else you don't have, Christian young person, this is something you're guaranteed. The Lord is with you. To encourage you all of the time, to help you through difficult terrain, and to strengthen you through his word, as we saw here in Joshua. There's not just the ground of continuing, but there is the guarantee if we conform. If we be with him, it says there, the Lord is with you. It says, if ye seek him, he will be found of you. We cannot simply say, well, the Lord has promised to be with us, and we draw a line under that, and we're not going to conform. Now, being with the Lord was something that Asa knew about. Asa had earlier given himself to prayer before he went out to that battle against Zerah, the Ethiopian. We've read it before in God's word in verse 11. Cried unto the Lord and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them which have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. And that is how we need to continue to pray. How do we conform? How do we be with him and say, here, if you seek him, there must be praying. That is why we're always encouraged to know that you're praying for us at home, or that you come along to the prayer meeting here. We love to have our Sunday prayer meetings too, but we just can't justify it at the moment. We're not allowed, as far as I know. We're just to have our Sunday services. But when I say not allowed, Presbyteries decided we're having Sunday meetings, or meeting, and our midweek meeting. But The praying is so important. And as you trace back through the Christian church, it doesn't matter how far you go back, if the church has known the hand of God upon it, and if the church has stayed steadfast in the preaching of the word and stuck to the book, there have always been men and women who were given to prayer. Always those who were seeking the Lord in prayer. Because Jesus says something very important at the end of verse 11. He has asked for the Lord to be with them. He says, O Lord, thou art God, let not man prevail against thee. What he's saying to the Lord here is, we're the instruments. Desperately need your help. We're just small compared to this group, these Ethiopians. But overall, the cause is yours. And so it is with us in Akali. The guarantee of the Lord continuing to be with us and to help us and to encourage us and to strengthen us and to help us over difficult terrain. It's if, what's the words there? If you seek him, he will be found of you. Folks, wonder how things could work in Northern Ireland. If every praying Christian, and I'm looking at you today as a Christian, taking it you are a praying Christian, if every praying Christian resolved now, coming out of lockdown soon, hopefully, and we're going to give twice as much time to praying. Make an effort to be in the prayer meeting in the church if we can. But wherever we are, we're going to give twice as much time to praying for the furtherance of the cause of Christ. We're going to remember these difficulties that's coming against God's cause. And while we must not let bitterness get in, and it would be very easy to get angry, not let bitterness get in, we remember those without their souls that need to be saved, but nonetheless, we must stand firm. And if we want to be seeking him, we will certainly be seeking him in prayer. We will be seeking him in preaching. Suppose anybody could stand up and give a lecture, just be like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Need anointed preaching. That does not mean that multitudes be saved. I wish it did. It never means that. But we need the Lord to own the preaching and to use it to build up his people, and in his own time to speak to the hearts of those that are not saved. There's no substitute, you see, for the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The ground of continuing. It says, the Lord is with you. The guarantee, if we continue, it says, if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But I just want to throw another thought in here, and it is guarding against a contrary walk. A contrary walk, I should say. Because Asa here, as we noted, he was very straight in his talking. Azariah was straight in his talking with Asa. He says, if ye forsake him, would never be judgmental on any of you, but I need to look at my own heart every day. I need to make sure that even when the Lord does answer a prayer for us, say, and he does something for us that we've been asking for a long time, and maybe, as has been the case even here in the work, he's done so many things for us. You remember, we've met in there, and so many things we asked that the Lord would bring along the right people. There's no doubt he's done that. We asked that the Lord would open up doors for witnessing and for fellowship. All of that has happened. We'd asked especially that we know his presence. We've always known his presence in the house here. But over there, and I'll just read it for you, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says there in verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods. Now, we know that some in these days were notorious for doing just that, for walking after other gods, but they're no worse than today. To walk after other gods. It says here, and serve them and worship them. I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. This is strong words. Strong words. And the unfortunate thing is, and again, it's not being judgmental in any way, it's just a fact that whether it is because of the pandemic or some other reason, some believers are losing out. It is a concern. It's a concern with many ministers. Like, I can name you, and I won't name it, one church bigger than us. Not hugely bigger, but a bit bigger than us. And because since the first pandemic, first lockdown, four families just simply haven't come to church. No sickness, children and all that thing. Oh, I must get out again. Never come back. Christians. Brothers and sisters, that is before our very eyes, a falling away. It's a falling away. And it's walking contrary to what the Lord had promised to Joshua. He said, if you meditate in the word, if you be like the cow or the animal chewing the cud, meditate in the word, let it get in there. Let it drive you and motivate you and strengthen you. If that happens, you'd want to be in the meetings. But it's very possible to walk contrary to the Lord. Verse 16 of Deuteronomy chapter 31, the Lord is saying to Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land. What an awful thought. Verse 17 says, and my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. And folks, we don't want that. And not only do we not want that as a people, we don't want that for any individual person. And there is this guarding that there needs to be there against a contrary walk. In other words, the Lord is saying, you're a responsible man or woman, and you have responsibilities to fulfill regarding your walk. That's what Azariah was saying to King Asa. King Asa had one of his greatest days ever. Yet Azariah, his feet were firmly on the ground. And he knew what had happened in generations past, how people got carried away and then become complacent and lost out. He says, now, the Lord is with you. And if you seek him, he'll be found of you. What a great thing when we can say the Lord is found of us. And Christian, wherever you have to go this week, if you can say the Lord is found of me, that's a marvelous thing. But let's guard against this contrary walk. You again look in Revelation chapter 3 and 2 and look at the messages the Lord had to some of the churches there. Didn't even realize they left their first love. Thought all was rosy, and it wasn't. And being in the house is very difficult for all of us. And do pray for those who are still, because of illness, not able to get out, that the Lord would keep them close to himself, that he would encourage their heart and strengthen them. I have one final thought here. We've noted the ground of the continuing. The Lord is with them. And the guarantee of the continue, if they seek him, he'll be found of them. The guarding against the contrary walk, which was evidently on Azariah's mind as it came to Asa. The final thought is gracious words of comfort. Look at verse 15. It says, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath. That is, whenever he just told them what the Lord would do. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and saw them with their whole desire, and he was found of them. See that? He was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Now, there were very similar words that were uttered in Solomon's day, that were uttered now with King Asa as well, and we're uttering them again. The Lord is with us. If we will seek him, he will be found of us. But if we turn our back on him, and we don't look to those responsibilities that are ours, we'll not know his blessing. You continue to be saved, but who wants to go through life and say, well, I'm saved and stuck, and now I'm going to heaven, I'm going to leave it at that. We want to be up for him. And this is a great, I believe, incentive to press on. And I trust that the Lord will help you with still considerable challenges regarding the days ahead in the country, and certainly regarding schools and that kind of thing. And who knows, for those who are in care, when I say that, I mean those who are working in nursing and doctors and care profession, who knows what the aftermath of all of this is going to be with other sicknesses, not just the COVID, the actual mental sicknesses, emotional problems, and all of these things. I trust that the Lord will give us that incentive today.